You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Is it too late in the process, though, to change that?
Nothing's too late, bro. Everything's made up in politics.
The Wire.
Following our previous kōrero with the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March, we spoke to Michael Swanson, a PhD candidate in New Zealand politics at the University of Otago, for an extended discussion regarding National's cabinet reshuffle. During our chat, we focused on why National made the decision to shuffle their portfolios at this point in time and the impacts of the portfolio changes for the wider economy, particularly for constituents in the South Island. Here is that interview.
Can you give us a rundown on National's recent cabinet reshuffle?
I think it was a pretty sort of, it was a relatively safe one. I think that's what I'd start by saying. It was quite a safe, not too many chairs being moved, but some fairly big headline moves. So, of course, the big one was Shane Rettie being removed from Health and replaced by Simeon Brown is probably the headline of it. The other one, of course, is probably the splitting of the tertiary portfolio into a Minister for Universities under Shane Rettie and a Minister for Vocational Education under Penny Simmons. And I think the third sort of big one is the exit of Melissa Lee altogether as a minister and the rise of James Meagher coming in as a minister outside of Cabinet with the portfolio of the Minister for the South Island, which is a really interesting one.
So why do you think National made the decision to reshuffle its portfolios at this point in time?
Look, January is very much a traditional reshuffle time of the year. If you go back and look at most governments under MMP especially, there's a bit of a new year, new cabinet kind of feel, you know, try and bring a bit of rejuvenation and energy back into the room. Often it is not massive changes, but usually a couple of big ones just to get people interested and noticed what's going on. So it's a pretty standard thing to do at this time of year.
Did the recent Taxpayers Union poll showing National's approval rating falling below 30% have anything to do with the reshuffle?
I think it probably did have an impact on who was reshuffled. So I think an area like health, if you are getting, and it's a hard space, you know, there's very few winners who are ministers of health. But if you are having bad polls, an area that you can try and boost them is if you can do better in health. So that is going to have an impact. But in general, I don't think it did, but it's more about who got moved as a result.
And just on that topic, why do you think Prime Minister Christopher Luxon transferred Shane Rettie's role as Minister of Health to Simeon Brown, especially considering that the latter has no experience in medicine?
I think there is, one of the things that Simeon Brown has done over the last few years is show that he is highly capable. Whether you agree with him or not, he is quite a direct and direct sort of minister, provides a lot of clarity. Like I say, it might not be something you agree with, but you know where he stands on things. So I think he brings a more direct kind of attitude to the role. In terms of the background, I think there is this kind of belief that people who perform these roles should have a background in that sector. But that has not always been shown to be a positive thing. We've had ministers in various roles before who have performed quite badly, who have come from those backgrounds. So we've had an example previously was Jan Tinetti in education, who has a massive background in education and couldn't get the traction, couldn't fulfil that role to the maximum. And now you're seeing a similar thing with Shane Rettie, where he probably has not been as effective as many expected for someone who comes from that sector. So I think we overplay the role of a person's background and knowledge in that space when they have access to so much information as it is. It is about being better at interpreting the information and understanding it than actually coming from that sector itself.
Why didn't ACT or New Zealand First go through similar reshuffling processes of their own?
I think this shows you the power of the coalition agreements. One of the things that we probably aren't so used to is having coalition agreements that are so fixed and so clear around what they do. We've had ones previously where it's been a lot more principle-based. This one actually states that they will do these things and get these roles, and it shows that the Prime Minister's role as head of cabinet and the typical convention of having the ability to reshuffle cabinet as he or she likes is now being overridden by the coalition agreements in the current MMP system.
Additionally, can you tell us about Nicola Willis's new role as Minister of Economic Growth and how this would differ from the previous portfolio of Minister of Economic Development?
Yeah, so they've made a real concerted effort to emphasise that growth word. They really want to see growth. And this is another thing, probably going back to that question about the Taxpayers Union poll. One of the big things that has hurt National in the polls has been the inability to grow the economy. We've seen quarter on quarter either stagnant or negative growth. So we're seeing recession or near recession kind of economic situation. So they've really put the emphasis back on growing the economy. So that's very much a semantics sort of change there around development versus growth, but it is very much a political and media kind of angle to take.
The reshuffling has also led to the creation of a minister for the South Island. Could you tell us a little bit about this role and how this will impact those living in the South Island?
Yeah, the minister for the South Island is a really interesting one. Of course, we've already got a minister for Auckland, that's Simeon Brown. But his role is quite, I wouldn't say simple, but it's a more clear cut. He has a single entity that he works with as the minister for Auckland. James Meagher coming in as the Minister for the South Island is far less simple, far more convoluted, because you're dealing with a large number of city councils, regional councils, district councils across the South Island. So it is probably going to end up more of an advocacy role on his behalf, to actually be the person who takes the concerns and the wishes of the South Island to Wellington. One of the problems over many, many years has been that the South Island often feels left out of decisions made in Wellington. They feel sort of secondary to other parts of the country. So this is one way to try and advocate for the South Island. How it'll work in practice is one of those kind of big question marks, because it's brand new with a new minister, so it's going to be a lot of feeling his way through the dark to try and figure this out and build the role from scratch.
And lastly, just to wrap things up, do you think that this reshuffle is likely to lead to a greater degree of efficiency and economic growth, as Prime Minister Christopher Luxon has purported?
I am always very sceptical of reshuffling cabinet as a way of growing the economy. I don't think having a different minister or different people holding different portfolios is the thing that grows the economy. So no, in and of itself, I don't think it will be the thing that sees greater economic growth. What will be interesting is to see if there's any new policy motion, policy narratives that come out of these changes. That's going to be where we start to see what this actually means, because at the moment all this is a change of names and a reshuffle of who has what portfolio, rather than any sort of fixed plan for growing the economy.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.